Called a good fortune or a misfortune. Misfortune, you know what it is? It's the name of a girl. Misfortune. And she has a stepsister called Misfit. They always go together. They're constant companions. Misfit and Misfortune. So, the misfortune comes along. Why does it come along now? Because I was running after good fortune, making it happen, struggling for it, exploiting others, cheating others, doing all sorts of things. And the reaction comes along now in the form of misfortune. But in the meantime, there is something has happened within me. I am no longer interested in good fortune, in prosperity. And so it turned out, I lose my wealth, I lose my property, and thank you very much, I become a Swami. So it doesn't worry you anymore. Doesn't bother you at all, doesn't even touch you. Because between the sowing and the harvest time, you have changed. And so you are able to look at the plants that have come up as a result of your sowing, look at it and say, marvelous, and leave it there and go. Because the me is lost. The me which provided the motivation for all these previous actions, that has gone. And the prarabdha, when it comes back, the karma, when it comes back, the reaction, when it comes back and wants to hit you, you are absent. The me is absent. It will still work on, let's say, the body. Right? It will still work on the body. But the me is not there to suffer with the body. You are able to look at the body and say, okay. So what? The fatality is still there. Yeah? Fatalism is still built into the body.
But it is balancing this law of conservation of matter by, even though the me is not there,
that's it.
It is still balancing
out. It's still balancing out. Right, thank you. Since the me is not there, it doesn't say, just like rain. It can be raining outside. But if you are sitting inside, you are not getting wet. The balancing goes on outside. There was heat, and the ground was parched and so on, and that brought a shower of rain. And that balancing goes on outside. The me is not there, it's not concerned. Even when it happens to this body. In a state of darkness, in a state of ignorance, the me thought, this is my body, I must preserve it, protect it very carefully. But when the buddhi turned towards the light, the body is still body, yes. It's very good, lovely body, nice thing. But when it gets sick, some nice balancing is going on. Okay, go on. This again one must see in some of these great men like Swami Sivananda. He never made any big fuss when he was sick. And strangely, even when he was, I'll give you an example. He was having a rather serious bout with typhoid. And I think it was the 15th day or so, he was weak. could barely move. And but still he was moving a little bit from the bed to the bathroom. And the bathroom was close to the outside, so that he could look out the window, look at the Ganges and the Himalayas and so on. Couldn't walk without support. He walked from the bedroom to the bathroom, and while he was being cleaned up, he looked outside, and some old woman was sitting on a visitor, was sitting in the hot sun. Why is she sitting there? She had go and ask if she has had her lunch. Ask her not to sit there, it's not good for her health. That's the point. The body's own, you know, balancing process is being carried out by nature. That's all, that's not my business. I am not suffering, and the body is suffering. And what is the enlightened Swami Shivananda? In that enlightened state, he is still worried about them. Not worried, sorry, concerned. That is the real nature of Swami Shivananda, compassion, love. That is still operating. But this terrible, dreadful concern over the physical body and its health, that is gone. I have never heard him grumble, moan about his own physical condition, but never. And purely from the physical point of view, I think he had the greatest number of troubles, complaints.
Even if they are like facts about his body.
His body is not there. There are facts concerning that body.
But it's still sort of grumbling, even though they're facts. If one were to note the facts of the body in that
That's
situation.
All. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he took a lot of medicines and treatment and so. But that peculiar mourningness, depression, that ordinary people suffer from, eating. Not even botheration about what people would think and so on. At one stage he couldn't climb some steps from the Ganges bank to the office. And he used to carry some bags in his hand. Hand it to an assistant. And he used to walk with a stick at some stage. And even the stick he would give to somebody else. And to crawl on all fours. Without any self-consciousness, nothing. The body is unable to move up these steps, so it will crawl. Once he was on the top, and he picked up the step, then he was his own old self. That is how the enlightened person, I don't know how to term this. Ignores prarabdha, overcomes prarabdha, endures prarabdha, something. Something happens between him and the prarabdha. It is allowed to do its own work without his participation. But the body is the product of prarabdha, and so it has got to take what is allotted to it. Some Sanskrit? Ready to go? Where were you yesterday?